Please be seated.
Good morning. Okay, we have one remaining case on our oral argument docket this morning, and we understand both counsel have announced ready and declared the time that you wish to take for your argument, so we'll call it now. Deshaun Eugene Lucky versus the state. Salvant?
Thank you. Is it okay if I present?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to assume that everyone on the panel has read the brief that I submitted. Basically, what we have here, got two main issues that I'm going to talk about. They're both ineffective assistance counsel. And in order to get started, I guess if even though you've probably read the brief, I need to go over a little bit of what's going on here. Mr. Lucky was placed on probation, and there was a revocation hearing. And at that hearing, his lawyer, his trial counsel at that hearing, did not call any witnesses, with the exception of Mr. Lucky, to his defense. I also know that it's been throughout many cases that ineffective assistance of counsel is not the best appellate point on a direct appeal, but I think that this case is going to be a little different than many that you've seen before, and specifically the case of Ex Parte Samuel O'Keer, which was presented to this same panel, and Justice Walker actually wrote the opinion on that. I'm going to distinguish this case from that one a little bit here, but first, what I want to say is that Deshaun Lucky and his lawyer at the time was Danny Burns. That was his trial counsel. At his original hearing, there was evidence that could have been presented, and it wasn't. So we also had a little bit of an actual innocence issue going on here, too. What that evidence would have been was, one, his wife, who stated that...
Is this in the record?
It is in the record.
Okay.
This is the evidence that was related to the motion for new trial that was not timely presented according to...
Yes, right. And so, and the reason I get into the specifics of it is because it shows that these witnesses were never called. It was his wife and also his employer that would have testified that he was not at the scene of this new assault that occurred. And the best way to have brought that in, since it wasn't brought in at the original hearing, would have been to file a motion for new trial and then had it presented that way. His trial counsel erred in two areas. One, he never did call at the original hearing, and then two, whenever the new trial came up, Mr. Burns remained on as his lawyer, even filed the notice of appeal and also filed his motion for new trial, but never had a hearing on it. Because of that, he allowed that motion for new trial, the hearing, to pass by matter of law. I mean, it was just abandoned. And so those would be our two main points there. And the reason that I have to go into to both of them together is because in order to show that, one, he was deficient in his representation, I think that's already been explained, but we also have to show that but for that deficiency, there would have been a different outcome. The trial court stated in the record that it based its decision solely on the point that Mr. Lucky was the only witness that was called. The judge said that based upon the two witnesses that were called, Deshaun Lucky and also the victim, he went solely by what the victim said. Had these other witnesses been presented, trial court most likely would have ruled a different way. Then, because there was no motion for new trial was never gone forward on, that time lapsed, and Mr. Lucky never had an opportunity to present anything at that time.
But counsel, you're suggesting that this evidence was available or known to counsel at the time of trial?
It absolutely was known to counsel
Was it raised in the motion for new trial as newly discovered evidence?
Well, Judge, actually, it was even raised during his initial hearing. And the trial attorney, he even stated in the record that he probably should have called these two people as witnesses. He also stated that these witnesses would not have been harmful. They actually would have been helpful. But then he blames it basically on the state whenever the court asked him, well, why didn't he call them? He says that the one witness was not available because she had to work. The judge states that, well, you could have issued a subpoena and we could have had her here. And so that kind of gets me into the O'Keefe situation where, Justice Walker, you wrote that usually it's not a good idea to bring a direct or a ineffective assistance of counsel on direct appeal because usually you cannot understand or there are omissions rather than commissions to understand the trial strategy. In this situation, we actually see that there was one, there was no strategy, and two, that defense counsel actually admits right there in the record that he could have called these witnesses. They would have been helpful, but he just didn't do it for one reason or another. He just comes out and basically says that. In the motion for new trial, the defense counsel actually adds the affidavit of one of the witnesses who would have testified that Mr. Lucky could not have committed the offense. That was the reason for his probation being revoked. And so, therefore, we would just say that Mr. Lucky never had an opportunity. I mean, there was never anything there. I mean, he just never had a fair shot. And, I mean, I know that the ineffective assistance of counsel falls under the Strickland prong, and I think that through our brief and through our arguments that it's been proven that the defense counsel's representation fell below an objective standard of reasonableness based on prevailing professional norms, that being that, one, the witnesses were never called. They would have been helpful. The defense counsel knew about them. This was all at the original proceeding. And also, because of the fact that he sat on the motion for new trial and let that expire by a matter of law. And we also feel like we've met the second prong that the result of the proceedings would have been different but for defense counsel's deficient performance. And the reason that we feel so strongly about that is because the trial judge even stated that, and let me just quote him specifically, trial judge states in the record on page 105 that the only thing I thought you had done was showed up late a couple of times and done some stuff that no, they wouldn't have filed on you and I wouldn't have known about it and things would have been okay. But I found that that offense did happen and my decision has to be based upon the fact that I did not accept your version of events. So I mean, the trial judge is telling you right there that had these witnesses been available, everything probably would have been okay. It would have never even come to him. In so much that it's an actual innocence. I mean, there is evidence showing that Mr. Lucky could not have been available or at the scene of this crime when it occurred. And so that's what the defense would rely upon.
What about the allegations to which he pled true?
Okay, the allegations that he pled true to, first off, the allegation of the urinalysis, where he did show up, stepped outside to use the phone, and they locked the doors on him. And then also on the allegations that he didn't show up a couple of times before. Once again, just from what the judge just said, he said that he would have never revoked him simply because of those reasons. That's from page 105. I mean, just like I just read, he said if he'd shown up late a couple of times and some stuff, and whenever I'm assuming that when he says "and some stuff," he's talking about the urinalysis, that they wouldn't have never filed on you, and I would have not known about it, and things would have been okay.
But don't the fact that he pled true to those two allegations? Don't those support adjudication?
Not necessarily. The judge states that the court understands that what result got this ball moving in a revocation fashion is the allegation of the new offense, meaning the new assault charge. Because the other violations have been administratively sanctioned prior to hearing, but the probation department always alleges any and all violations going back throughout the history of the probation. So I guess what I'm saying is the judge could have revoked his probation just on those allegations, but he's telling us through the record that he wouldn't have done that simply because of your analysis that he has showed up to, that he went to take, that they locked him out. He did show up the very next day to take the your analysis, and the judge states that evidently it didn't come back dirty, or he would have known about it, which it never did come back as being polluted with any type of drug or anything. And also the fact that these allegations of him not reporting, they were over 3 years ago. They never had any intention of revoking Mr. Luckey based upon his not reporting, which happened 3 years back. Now, I'll even go on further to say that Mr. Luckey was placed on probation. I believe it was a 10-year probation where he completed about 8.5 years of it. Certainly, if the probation department, if the state wanted to revoke him, this would have been brought up a whole lot sooner than it was. And I think that the judge, from what he says in the record, he states that he would not have revoked him but for this new offense. And then once we look at this new offense, we see that there's an actual innocence claim. It was never raised by defense counsel. It was all provided to him. Not only was it not raised, but he explains that he had no strategy, that these people would have been helpful, but the only reason he did not call them was because one of the witnesses would have missed work, where the judge then questions him on it being about a subpoena. And then, to take it even a step further with the whole, and I know I'm reiterating everything, but to take it a step further with the motion for new trial, one, it was never filed, and that is a vital area of the law. And I mean, if you look at Belcher versus State, it says that the counsel's default cannot be classified as strategy because, and this is expire as a matter of law. It says counsel's default cannot be classified as strategy because it is a strategy of failure outside of the Sixth Amendment's guarantee of the assistance of counsel for his defense. It also goes on to say that counsel's complete lack of activity during the motion for new trial hearing was tantamount to actual or constructive denial of the assistance of counsel at the critical stage of the criminal prosecution. And one of the criminal stages, or one of the vital stages or critical stages of criminal prosecution, is that motion for a new trial. It is that hearing for a new trial. And the same case states that the rule in Texas is the hearing on a motion for a new trial is a critical stage of criminal proceeding. It is the only opportunity to present to the trial court certain matters that may warrant a new trial and to make a record on those matters for appellate review. So, Mr. Luckey, I mean, he kind of got knocked out twice. I mean, one, he had witnesses that could have helped him. Two, really three times. The second one would have been at that motion for new trial, he would have had the opportunity to present those witnesses. And three, the very lawyer who did not call these witnesses also allowed his time for a motion for new trial to expire. And then on top of that, I'm just going to round it all off, I think the court makes it very clear that but for the testimony of only Mr. Luckey and the judge not believing Mr. Luckey, the outcome most likely would have been different, even with the other reasons to revoke him, that being the missing of a urine analysis. And I really don't want that to be confused with a dirty urine analysis, but the missing of it, and also the not showing up for his probation, which happened 3 years earlier. So I think it's very clear that the court would not have revoked him, and the court does say that, but for this new offense, he would have never known anything about it. It would have never been presented, and we would have never been here today. And I'll yield the rest of my time.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Salvant. Ms. Nahani?
We're here in a court of appeals, and in a court of appeals, appellate standards apply. It's been over 30 years since Strickland versus Washington was handed down. I hate to say, I was in law school then, and that is the standard. It's a two-prong standard. You have deficient performance boiled down as the first prong and prejudice. There is absolutely no way under this record to show prejudice, even in spite of Judge Wish's comments on the record. We have two pleas of true. Those alone support the judge's ruling. And while Mr. Salvant very cleverly and argues the statements that are contained and before the trial court in the motion for new trial documents from the witnesses that were not called, while he argues those and spins those now into an actual innocence claim, which was not one of the four points of error raised, the judge at the trial court did not say he disbelieved Clifford Anderson, the person who was the victim of what was a rather harrowing account of domestic violence bubbling into road rage sort of situation. So that victim testified, and Judge Wish did not discount that at all. I think if you read Judge Wish's comments, they're not a but-for. This is that the new offense, the one of the three allegations that the state went forward on this adjudication proceeding, was the only reason the judge found true and adjudicated the guilt here. But it's true the state did not bring the proceeding to adjudicate until there was a new offense. Mr. Lucky was lucky. He had messed up already on his probation by not taking his UA and by missing a few times on his probation, but he was lucky, and the state did not pursue, even though we could have pursued adjudication, until things got really bad and really nasty, and we had a victim who had his story to tell in court. So we need to look at the standard of review. And the standard of review, even if you want to assume, which I think it would not be an appropriate assumption, that there was deficient performance by Mr. Burns, you do not get to the second prong because we have two, not one, but two pleas of true, which support the adjudication. There is no but for this third allegation that we have testimony on at the hearing on the adjudication, as well as in the motion for the new trial. So, that being said, unless there are any questions by this court, I really don't have anything further.
I assume Judge Wish could have said, I don't accept these pleas of true.
Yes, Your Honor.
If he didn't think that they were sufficient to support the revocation.
Well, and in fact, one was what we colloquially call, I never can say the word, a true but, which I've never understood. There is no basis in law. I think there might be one or two opinions out of this court because I think it's a Tarrant County practice, which some of us may have chastised our trial attorneys for doing that, but we had a true but. It's kind of one of those hemming and hawing buyer's remorse things. Hey, you know, I did it, but I really have an excuse. You know, it's funny because on the UA, there's nothing confirming Mr. Lucky's account that he had been there and stepped out or showed up the next day on the UA. And, you know, I'm never going to disparage someone for saying that they didn't do something for child care reasons. That was the claim on the missing the prior dates before, because, boy, every parent juggles those kind of issues. But again, that's kind of, oh, yeah, I missed it a number of years back, and I can't remember, but it had to be because of child care. Couldn't have been me messing up. So, you know, those are really kind of hemming and hawing, and I think they lack credibility. The bottom line is he pled true. That legally is a basis for finding true and adjudicating this. And regardless of what the judge said on the record, it's clear that the case wouldn't have come before the judge had the state not known about this new offense. And Mr. Anderson's testimony is very compelling. And, you know, it wouldn't be. Danny Burns says something about the defendant's wife having to work. You know, we could ascribe a strategic motivation to that. Wouldn't be the first time that someone did not want to call their on-again, off-again spouse with whom they've had loyalty issues and did not want to call them to testify on their behalf. You know, even in a jury trial, the state can comment on a missing witness and say, well, they didn't call so-and-so or the spouse or whoever who wasn't there, and we can assume, because we know that person was present or involved, that that evidence would have been material, and since they didn't call him, you can say, it would have been negative. So I think Mr. Burns could have been giving a reason for the judge to believe that there was a legitimate reason as far as time for not calling the wife, when there could have been a reason that her testimony would not have been helpful. But we don't know that because we're on direct appeal, and Mr. Burns has not had his say, and even trial attorneys get their own due process in a way on ineffective assistance claims. So with that being said, the standards apply and this case should be affirmed.
Thank you. Mr. Salvat?
First off, I don't know how anyone can say that Mr. Lucky was lucky. He never had a shot here. I think it's very disturbing that you have an individual who, at the trial level, had every defense available to him, and his lawyer presented nothing. And then the remedy to that would have been a motion for a new trial, and his lawyer just sat on that. I don't know how that couldn't be ineffective assistance of counsel. And to say that there were other opportunities to revoke Mr. Lucky, and so therefore this really has no merit, is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if part of the process is tainted, all of the process is tainted. If your lawyer is not doing anything for you, any advice that was given, any part of that whole proceeding should be seen as ineffective. You know, I don't know how his trial lawyer could have made it any more clear. I mean, he came out and he stated on the record that he should have called these people. He thought that it was a mistake that he didn't call these people. And the only response that he gave, other than the reason he didn't call these people, was because one of them had to work, and he didn't give any explanation for the other individual. And then, on top of that, his response was that, the state could have easily called these same people. I mean, that's not a strategy. I mean, that's just completely ridiculous. And that was what Mr. Lucky was faced with. And then to say that that he received a fair shot, he just didn't. I don't know how anyone can say that he was ever given a fair shot to do anything. He sat there, his lawyer let all these opportunities pass, and then did not even use the correct remedies to resolve that issue. I also just want to reiterate that the trial court, I mean, while they had these other opportunities to revoke him, they said they would have never revoked him because of that. I don't know what else the judge would have to say. I mean, could it have been done? Yes, but he's coming out and saying that, hey, simply missing your urinalysis, simply things that happened 3 years ago, but for this new offense, this is the exact word, but for this new offense, we wouldn't be here today.
The judge could have said, I don't accept your pleas of true on these two minor allegations, so to speak. And
doesn't he say that he accepts them? Is that, I'm sorry?
No, I said the judge could have said something to that effect in rejecting the pleas of true. I think you might have had a better argument or a better case if that had been the case. But
I mean, he could have, but he focuses on the situation or the issue of the new offense. He states that the only reason we're really here, and I'm paraphrasing, the only reason we're really here is because of the new offense. But he does say that had that new offense not occurred, then this would have never been filed and we wouldn't have been here. And come on, he says, it would have been okay. I mean, how much more does he have to say to show you that, but for this new offense, that the outcome would have been completely different? And so, just lastly, that you know, if this court does not agree with Mr. Lucky, that we would ask that he still be allowed to bring up this ineffective assistance claim on direct appeal, since if the court does not find the appeal record had sufficient evidence. But we would ask that it be remanded back to the trial court for Mr. Lucky to be able to file his motion for a new trial.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Salvant, Ms. Dehoney. Appreciate you both coming here this morning to present your arguments. The case is submitted. We'll ask the clerk to adjourn us for the day. Thank you.